Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is our spiritual breakfast and it is the beautiful day of Jumu'ah. The date is the 16th of Dhul Hijjah 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Muhammad Akusab Hafidhullah. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Jazakum Allah Zaid Sahab, all well?
Gee, alhamdulillah, how's Mufti Sahab doing?
Allah is so kind, and alhamdulillah, every day we have is the gift of Allah to make a difference, alhamdulillah, in our lives. And whoever we can touch on, the Ummah of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was just thinking of this beautiful dua when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would taught, Allahumma ja'alna hadin muhtadi. So Allah, make us of those who will guide others and of those who will remain on hidayah. And interestingly, logically, we would have understood it this way. Allah, make me one who is on hidayah and then one who will guide others. But this teaches us the beautiful temperament of deen. And we can't wait to perfect ourselves first and then guide others. Because that will take a lifetime and we still won't perfect ourselves. Then the only inviter and reformer would be none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his brothers the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, and then his brothers the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. And none of us would be able to make any effort on humanity when we will be able to perfect ourselves. So what a beautiful dua. Allahumma ja'alna hadin muhtadin. Alhamdulillah. You give us this opportunity. Allah reward you. I was just thinking of this incident of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. It was mentioned to me by my Ustad, Hafiz Qala Sahib, and you had Hafiz Sahib Nizam. So as I was sitting and thinking what to share, I'm remembering this incident. Hafiz Sahib told me that Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had a Hindu friend. And he used to always tell him, brother, read the Kalima, become Muslim. You know, you'll be part of us. So that man will say, no, I like you, Malana, but I'm not, your way is not my way. I'm not a Muslim. And Qari Sahib felt bad about it. But he showed the man akhlaq and so forth. Like the beautiful incident of Hazrat Malana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahmatullah alayhi. And I must share this with our listeners, subhanallah, I'll be digressing a bit. And in South Africa, we have, Allahu Akbar, such a great scholar. In a beautiful town, Ladysmith. He's one of the last students still living of Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Rahmatullah Ali left this world in 57. And Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mullah Sahib Hafidhahullah was his student and took sanad from him, Bukhari Sharif, in 55. So in the world, he's one of the last few. And in South Africa, he's the only one. We were visiting him not long ago with some wonderful guests, Allahu Akbar. And these words he shared with us were so profound. He mentioned to us the advisors of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, who said that three things could deprive one of Iman. And then he said, what are these three? He says, number one is when a person does not appreciate this gift of Iman. Kufranu ni'mati Iman. A person doesn't realize, Allah, you've made me Muslim. Allah, I can't thank you enough for this gift. You know, not thanking Allah for the gift of Iman could deprive one of Iman. And today there are so many avenues that are snatching people's Iman. It's worrying for ourselves, for our children. Allah save us. So number one, a person could be deprived of Iman is not appreciating the gift of Iman. Number two is not worrying and not having a concern about how we're going to die. We're not worried about how we're going to die. We could be deprived of Iman. And number three is oppressing people, making zulm on people. That's why we're not to oppress Muslim or non-Muslim, like our staff members. Speak to them politely. Don't be vulgar in talking to them. And if we did, apologize. Ask for maaf. Don't think that they are the staff and we are the employers. We have liberty to do what we like and we say what we like. Na'udhu billah. We are all Allah's bandah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw one oppressing one of his staff members, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember, O Hazrat Abu Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, you feel you have authority over the slave of yours. Allah has complete authority over you. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sima, rahmatullah alayhi, was driving down the road with some students. Somebody was mentioning this. And the students were laughing. So I said, why do you laugh? They said, look at this despicable sight around us of these people in their drunkenness swaying and collapsing. How despicable to be laughing at that. So Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi said, don't belittle any of Allah's creation. We don't know in which condition we will die. Will we die with iman or without iman? That should be our concern. And they could become the greatest of awliya. So that not worrying about how we're going to die. Maulana Mullah Sahib was saying, and then the last thing he was saying, that we could be deprived of iman, is zulm upon Allah's creation. Allah Ta'ala save us. Sahib Sahib was telling us, Qari Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, would always give this Hindu dawat. And I was mentioning Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahmatullah alayhi, where he arrived at this one program, and that was it a nun? Was it a non-Muslim who was with him? He called him in where he was eating. So the, you know, and that Hindu was feeling ashamed. You are such big people, where I can come? He says, no, you will sit next to me and we will eat together. And Hazrat takes a morsel and puts it in this man's mouth. This man gets so touched and humbled. He uttered the kalima. So what akhlaq? Akhlaq shows people akhlaq. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even your staff member, if you can't let them sit with you and eat, at least this much, give them of the same food. And what it means, the context of the hadith is when it's fresh, not as leftovers. Giving leftovers, where's the kamal in that? When it's fresh, before we start eating, hot, give it to the staff member and say, oh, go now and have this. Have it while it's hot. How many times they helped in the dry and this or that, or they're getting the scent of it. Give for Allah when it's hot and when it's fresh. That is really sincerely for Allah. And not only show akhlaq. Many a time we say, you know, akhlaq. That is the very pertinent part of the ingredient. But I tell you, if you are a ref and you got your brochure, but you go to the client you wanting to sell the goods to, and you showed him such character, and you sat politely, and you spoke so nicely, and you showed sublime character, and then you just left. He's not going to buy the goods. You have to now show him, this is what I have for sale. This is the price. This is what you have to, you know, this is the deal I'll give you. If you showed all the character, but you didn't do the presentation part, he's not going to buy anything. He won't even realize why you came. We in South Africa for 350 years, we're not even 3%. Who will change just through akhlaq alone? A very small percentage will contact you later and say, oh, you came. But was there anything? So with the character, we have to do the presentation. We have to explain Islam beautifully. Some will say, no, Islam is available for people to know. My brother, if you're in the Maidan, you would know, respected listener, people do not have the correct information about Islam. The incorrect information has reached them. And those who have the correct information are too busy wasting their time, and are too busy fighting, and are too busy using our energies elsewhere, are too busy hoarding it for ourselves. We'll make our salah, we'll make our tilawah, we'll do everything, and then we think we did Allah a great favor. What about the responsibility of Khatmun Nubuwa? What about the responsibility of introducing our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak life to humanity? So Mullah Sahib was saying these three advisors, quoting from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Hafiz Sahib was telling me that Qari Tayyib Sahib, then this Hindu individual passed on. So Qari Sahib saw him in Jannah. So Qari Tayyib Sahib asked him in the dream, that, bhai, how are you in our place? Like, he says, no, Qari Sahib, because Jannah is the place of Muslims. He says, Qari Sahib, you know, I always refused you when you told me, but as I was very ill, the thought crossed my heart that this man told me so nicely, such an alim, and he told me so nicely, and I read the kalima. And weeks later, I passed on. This is how I gained access into paradise. So you never know. Give the person dawah one day. They will read the kalima. Sometimes shaitan puts waswasa in our brains. No, if you're going to give the dawah, how are you going to follow up? My friend, my brother, my elder, and my sister, you will invite the sisters. You do your part. It's no guarantee that he's going to become Muslim immediately. You give the message. Allah will take it to the next level. when that person is ready, Allah will you know, make it happen. But you convey the message. Whatever business journey you undertake, make the intention of da'wah. This is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. MashaAllah, what a month. SubhanAllah. One of the greatest Sahaba embraced Islam in this month, Ya Allah. And prior to him, 3 days prior to him, it was none other than the uncle of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This great Sahabi, he returned from a hunting trip. And as he was coming into Makkah, one of the servants of Abdullah bin Jud'an, Mawlat, a free slave, she comes to him. She says, do you know how Abu Jahl publicly insulted and used vulgarity and tried to disgrace your nephew? You should have been there, Hamza. You should have been there. And Hamza says, what? He publicly insulted my nephew? And you felt it. He wasn't a Muslim. He felt hurt for the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, respected Ummah. You know what they say about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know how they insult him? Because they have the incorrect information. And you and I who have the truth, the books are lying in your shelves, in your homes, and our homes. But the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want to read and we don't want to talk to people about it. His Mubarak life, his amazing nikahs, his amazing day, his amazing night, his words about akhlaq, his words about trade, his words about staff, his words about all categories of people. The whole day will go by. We'll talk about our cars, our companies, our properties, our... We'll seal the deal, but we will not end off our deal, our discussion, our meeting with the message of Islam. Where's our shame? Where's our pride as Muslims? And the devil puts it in our brain. Not long ago, I was in one masjid. I'm telling a man next to me, that, you know, Allah bless you with so many of these branches. If you're ready, gather your staff. We'll just do a presentation on Islam. You can take, then we can come, or one of the ulama can come, 15, 20 minutes. And then if they have any questions, simple. At least then we know we fulfilled our duty and we made the truth available to them. And we gave examples of other companies where this has happened. And imagine, look how the devil works in the brain. No, no. What if someone else? What if someone else? What if someone else? Leave all that. That a non-Muslim got his hotel. He puts his Bible there. He's not asking, what if someone else? What if someone else? You and I will have, but we don't want to put literature there. We're worried about losing the client. Are we not worried that we're going to stand before Allah on Judgment Day and we didn't introduce our Allah to the world, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the world? So in this great personality, the uncle of the beloved, was hurt. He rushes by the Kaaba. And we wouldn't advise people to do this because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us with akhlaq, when people don't understand the deen or mock the adhan or belittle him, how he, so those who didn't know, he educated them. He said to the man from the Banu Salima clan, that you're mocking me, but do you know the truth? So he said, I'm not interested in knowing. And I'll never embrace, even if this gecko, this iguana that I have hunted, had to read your kalima, I will never. So the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then addressed his iguana. See how nicely Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked on people. Those youngsters who were mocking the adhan, how the beloved of Allah called for them and mosque and spoke to them nicely and explained to them truthfully. This is what it's all about. We in this one area, Ya Allah. So many Afrikaners, we went after Fajr just to get some coffee. And Ya Allah, the way people are so polite. Thank you. Two policemen were there and we gave them this literature. And I mentioned to them that, you know, I wanted to tell you that we Muslims love Jesus Christ too. He says, yeah. And we believe he was born miraculously. We believe in the miracles he performed, curing the born blind, healing the leper, raising the dead to life by the leave of Almighty God, meaning by the permission of Allah. And we believe he was raised to the heavens. And we believe he's coming back. He says, you know, I never knew this. We were told a few aspects from the Quran about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Then we mentioned to him Mark 12:29, how Hazrat Isa was asked by the teacher, but how do we attain success and eternal life, success in paradise? Hazrat Isa, Jesus didn't say that I died for your sins, with no need to do anything, just believe in my blood. He didn't say that. He said, uphold the commandments of God. And what are the commandments? The first of which is Tawheed. And you know, they're saying that no one ever told us this. There's millions of people who have never received the message. And you and I want to say, no, Islam is available to them. How is Islam available to them? Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us the understanding. So we have to react to people very politely. But anyway, this great Sahabi rushes by the Kaaba, prior to his Islam. He said to Abu Jahl, Ya musaffirastihi. And he used vulgarity. This was his word. He says, oh, the one who sounds like wind from the posterior. Or the one, when you speak, it sounds like that. That was like an insult to him. That you attached to mubna akhi wa ana ala deenihi. You were vulgar with my nephew. And you were so disrespectful to him. And I am of his deen. This great Sahabi wasn't Muslim yet. But his pain for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him read the kalima. Allahu Akbar. And in that, he struck Abu Jahl on the head with his bow. Abu Jahl's clan, Banu Makhzum, were on their feet to pounce on Hazrat Hamza. Abu Jahl stopped them. Said, no, leave Aba Umara. I was really very, very insulted and vulgar with his nephew. Hamza goes home and now he's wondering, did I do the right thing? You know, he was going through this few days of worry. He said, Allah, show me the way. Allah, my creator, show me the way. Connect one person to another. Tell them. Talk to the creator who made you. He will guide you. Talk to him. And he comes out a few days later, 3 days later, and it was clear to him. And he became the right-hand man of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that, Ya Allah, what a great Sahabi. He's seeing what's happening in Makkah. And these conditions emotioned him. Few events happened prior. That one day he was hiding by the Kaaba. He was sitting there looking for some calmness, some peace. And in that, when he gets there, it seemed that night the pub was closed. So he didn't know where to go. So he goes by the Kaaba and he sees Allah's beloved, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, perform tahajjud prayers there. And he hides in the curtain of the Kaaba, slowly going closer, trying to hear the words of the Quran. And the beloved of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was reciting, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, Al-Haqqatu Mal-Haqqah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعا كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية فهل ترى لهم من باقية وجاء فرعون ومن قبله والمؤتفكات بالخاطئة. And he's so amazed with the Quran. He was so touched. He's wondering. The rhythm is so impeccable. The meaning is so touching. The rhythm is so impeccable, so profound. Could it be poetry? This was a thought that crossed this great Sahabi's heart. And then Allah's beloved recites the verse. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. These are not the words of a poet. Little do you bring faith. Now you're shocked. I just thought in my heart that could this be poetry? And here he recites, these are not the words of a poet. What is he then? A fortune teller? A magician? The next verse. وَلَا بِقَوْلِكَ لِلْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. It is not the words of a magician. Little do you take lesson. Now this great sahabi is affected. What? It's answering my question. And this is the beauty of the Quran. Sometimes, respected ummah, we're facing some challenge. We're facing some confusion in life. Don't open your phone and peruse the sites. Open the kalam of Allah. Open the Quran. Open a translation of the Quran if you don't know the Arabic. And open anywhere and turn to Allah and see the verses of the Quran. Quran will speak to you. Quran is alive. Quran is kalamullah. Yes, the translation is carried out by insan. But the Arabic is Allah's kalam, is Quran. And subhanallah. He's wondering, what is it then? If it's not poetry, nor is it the words of a magician who's or a fortune teller, what is this? The next verse responds, subhanallah. In this chapter, Al-Haqqa, chapter 69, verses 43. تَنزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. This is a revelation from Rabbul Alameen. Hazrat Umar's heart was touched towards Islam. But at this time, he was still so confused because Hazrat Hamza went and there's so much of confusion in Makkah. Hazrat Umar, in that confusion, they asked, who would end off this trouble and remove this conflict? I said, Umar didn't know what to do. And he takes his sword and he charges in the direction of where he could have found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Darul Arqam, the center of Islam, the first center of Islam Allah chose. Look at Allah's shan, Allah's qudrat. Allah chose the home of a sahabi who came from the Banu Makhzum clan. And the leader of the Banu Makhzum, subhanallah, Allah is showing Allah's shan. Fir'aun is trying to destroy Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, destroy Islam. But Allah makes it that the child he is looking for grows up right beneath his very nose. Allah se hota hai, makhluk se nahi. Here, from the Banu Makhzum clan, Allah makes it that that sahabi's home becomes the markaz of Islam. Hazrat Umar is en route to that direction because he sees Muslims go there. And one sahabi stops him, subhanallah. Hazrat Amir, another report, Hazrat Sa'd, it could have been twice. He says, where are you off to? Hazrat Umar said, I have to end off Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's too much of conflict. So this sahabi says, but why don't you start in your own home? Why don't you sort out your own family first? He had to protect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worry is, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mustn't be in danger. That was the greatest concern of sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhum, the love of the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do you mean? He says, go see your own sister, your own brother-in-law. And the woman says, what? And he has to verify. And he charges in the direction of his sister's home. And Hazrat Umar's gait and his march could not be hidden from any. He had that powerful march. And now they were doing ta'aleem in the home, learning the Quran, learning the deen. This is what we motivate every home to do. Carry out the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes. Create an environment of deen in our homes. Our children, through the gadgets we've made available to them, are being bombarded, are being attacked night and day. That simple thing called TikTok. A few seconds and they're scrolling down, cruising, going down. In 2 minutes, some actually see 20, 30 different things. And now it's releasing dopamine. And it's shortening the attention span of that human being. Now you try and speak to that person for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. The Jummah lecture, so sweet, so beautiful, 15, 20 minutes. That youngster now whose mind had been used to this drug dopamine, he doesn't have an attention span to even benefit from that beautiful environment. This is how it's corrupting. Now, Allah save us. Be careful of these things. Create this environment of deen in the home. Encourage our children to read from the lives of Sahaba in the home and sit as a family. And then each one should get an opportunity to talk about Allah for 20 seconds, for 30 seconds. Allah is so great. Allah is so kind. Allah has blessed me in so many ways. Even your child doesn't know what to say, then tell him, okay, my child, okay, my daughter, say how Allah blessed you. And then that child will start thinking and realizing that I need to be appreciative to Allah. Allah has done so much for me. Because we're living in a time of so much of ingratitude, we forget how much Allah does for us on a daily basis and we forget to make shukr. So in that also, each one must, if they know what to say about Allah, at least say what Allah has done for me. In the home, it's in the environment of the home, to talk about Allah. And also another day, talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then another day we can teach them also, talk about how will you explain to a Christian who is Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Now you're motivating your child from the home. Once one becomes da'i, agar hum da'i nahi honge, to maj'u banenge. If we don't invite to Allah, we will be invited. Make your child da'i. Allahumma ja'alna hadin, muhtadin, ghayra dalin, wala mudillin, wa tabattal ilayh, tabdila. So this is a simultaneous effort. As we are connecting to Allah, connect humanity to Allah, as we trying to disconnect from makhluk, we disconnect makhluk from makhluk. This is what Sahaba said. What was the CV of Sahaba? When they were asked in Persia, why have you all come? We have not come. And what are you all doing here? Allah has sent us to you. Sent you all to do what? لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَتِهَا وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدَلِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَأَرْسَلَنَا بِدِينِهِ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ لِنَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Allah has sent us to the world to take out whoever Allah wants to take out from the servitude of makhluk into the servitude of Khaliq, to take humanity out of the constrained life of this world into the vastness of dunya and akhirah. And this is something interesting. Look at the deep understanding of Sahaba, that when one comes into deen and comes into the work of deen and strives for deen, the vastness of akhirah starts in this dunya, in asaati dunya wal akhirah. Look at the non-Muslim. His life is constrained. Look at that Muslim who doesn't understand deen, who's not connected to deen, who doesn't come to the masjid. Heart is tight, depressed, miserable. So when deen, when we come into the deen, into the practicality of deen, into the environment of deen, there's vastness already starting, happiness, openness, kindness, character, peace. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارِ لَا فِي نَعِيمٍ إِلَى سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ. To take humanity out of the unjust system of the world, out of the unjust system of every ism, into the justice of Islam. Allah sent us, بِدِينِهِ, what His deen, إِلَى خَلْقِهِ. This is what Sahaba are saying, to His creation. Why Allah sent us? لِنَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Dawat dene ke liye, to give humanity dawat, to give every person dawat. That commander, Rustum, was so inspired. The next day he writes to Hazrat Sa'd, send me the same individual. Hazrat Sa'd that next day sent Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Mihsan radiallahu anhu. So he says, why have you come to me? He says, no, the Amir sent me. But why the other brother didn't come? He says, no, because he sent me today. Why have you come? And his words were, subhanAllah, we haven't come on our own. Then what are you doing here? Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum linukhrija man sha'a min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbi al-ibad wa min dhiqi al-dunya ila sa'ati al-dunya wal-akhira wa min jawri al-adiyan إلى عدل الإسلام فأرسلنا بدينه إلى خلقه. دعوة دینے کے لئے اللہ نے بھیجا لندعوهم إليه. یہ حضور کی امت کے کام ہے. This is the work of the امت of جناب رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. قل کہہ دیجئے اے میرا نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. قل tell the امت, tell the world, tell every person, tell every non-Muslim, tell every young, tell every old, tell every doctor, tell every scientist, tell every physician, tell every person, tell them about Allah. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your ummah, hadihi sabili, ye mera rasta, this is my way. I invite every human being to Allah. أدعو إلى الله. I invite every Muslim by reminding him to become better, by connecting to Allah, to draw the help of Allah. I invite every non-Muslim to the beauty of Islam. أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة, with wisdom and insight. أنا, this is my way. ومن اتبعني. And this is the way of all those who follow me. This is in the Quran. Allah has given us this responsibility. Allah give us tawfiq. Ya Rabbi, salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Jazakumullahu khayran.
Jazakumullahu khayran, Mufti Sahib, for that beautiful message. Make dua for us.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.